If you're back for the weekly recap, because it's Saturday the 7th of July, and if you're expecting heaps of sarcasm and dry, disrespectful commentary, well, you've come to the right place in honor of this week's announcement from the UK Ministry of Defence that British Army forces will in fact be cut by 20%. DEFREP staff will trim down their roundtable discussions to aptly demonstrate how one can do less with less. Staff writer John Dowdle has the week off, as does Keith Mallon, which creates the perfect laboratory conditions for us to demonstrate, by lowering everybody's expectations, how we're able to actually accomplish less without you, the listener, being the wiser. And on what better pretense can we turn our attention to the week's rapid-fire headlines? Number one, as if you haven't guessed already, British MOD announces officially Army 2020, transforming the British Army for the future. In this from MOD Press Office, the Army 2020 review sets out how the Army will transform to become a smaller, integrated, and more adaptable Army than it is today. The transformation will mean that the service will be better able to meet the security challenges of the future. Part of meeting those challenges will apparently include cutting forces by some 20% and leaning on private contractors and reservists to pick up the slack. Number two, Iran demands $4 billion from Russia over canceled missile deal. This from Ria Novosti. Iran's defense ministry and the Aerospace Industries Organization have launched a $4 billion lawsuit against Russia's state arms corporation, Rosatom Expert, and an international court in Geneva over a deal to buy missiles suspended by Russia. The Russian manufacturer yanked the deal off the table and returned Iran's deposit after international sanctions were imposed against Iran. And number three, first NATO truck crosses Pakistan border. This from Associated Press. The first truck carrying supplies to American and NATO troops in Afghanistan has crossed the Pakistani border after a seven-month closure of the supply routes by Pakistan ended earlier this week. The reopening is a rare bright spot in relations between the U.S. and Pakistan, which had closed the routes in retaliation for American airstrikes in November that killed 24 Pakistani border troops. See, no one can say we haven't ever presented good news on this program. It's downright tear-jerking. And leads us to wonder who could officially take part in the makeup sex. My vote's on Secretary of State Clinton and President Zardari. I think there's a kind of chemistry there. Right, cracking on with real news then, I'd like to turn our attention to Israel in the news this week, and in particular some astounding revelations made by one of their top generals about Lebanon. So, Brigadier General Herzi Halevi is commander of the IDF's 91st Division and said on Thursday that 6 years after the outbreak of the Second Lebanon War, Israel is preparing for another war with Lebanon. Now, what he sees as the real instigator in this change of regional security is Syria. The IDF has taken a good long look at what's going on in Syria and have decided, regardless of Syria's outcome, enough regional instability will be produced by Assad's failing regime to allow Hezbollah and other jihadists access to Israel's borders. The IDF says there are around 60,000 missiles and rockets in Lebanon, 10 times the number they had before the first war, and this is what they're concerned about. Again, for those of us looking at the situation in the UK and in Europe, we have to remember that the Israeli home front position on national security is purely threat-based. They really could care less about political intent or posturing. What they're looking to do is to preempt the threat. That's the de facto policy of national security in the state of Israel, whether we in the West agree with it or not. Now, Israel is also saying that in this eventuality, it would prefer a ground offensive, regardless of the fact that it will sustain more casualties on both sides. And that is really the key part of the story. Halevi says, the next war will be with very heavy exchanges of fire on both sides. And so both need to make every effort to stop this happening. In the Goldstone Report, the community and the world tended to get confused and think that this can be done in a nicer way. It cannot be nice. Without the use of great force, we will find it difficult to achieve the aim, and the enemy should also know that. Now, the Goldstone Report was a UN byproduct of an investigation into the 2009 Gaza War that killed 1,400 Gazans and 13 Israelis. It called for both parties, Hamas and Israel, to investigate their own actions and accused both of deliberately targeting civilians. It was lambasted by Israel. Interestingly, on 1 April, the author, South African judge Richard Goldstone, published a full retraction in the Washington Post of the 500-word document's findings. In the article, he questioned the findings of the mission he headed. He wrote, "If I'd known then what I know now, the Goldstone report would have been a very different document." He wrote that the report's initial finding that Israel intentionally targeted civilians was wrong, and he praised Israel for investigating allegations against it while criticizing Hamas for failing to do the same, which was a bit of a reversal from the original document. It's all a very convoluted chain of events. But what we need to do is look down the road and see that this major cluster, in fact, originates with the UN's failing in producing anything respectable in this entire evolution. In fact, the whole Goldstone investigation will come back to bite the international community on the ass if and when this Lebanon war kicks off. And judged on the intensity of recent Hezbollah attacks, this will be an extremely violent war in a region that just simply doesn't need it. That's us for the week. Very short recap, as I said. I feel I would be remiss, though, if we didn't close with a few words of inspiration from ex-Barclays chief Bob Diamond, who finally threw in the towel this week over his bank's fiddling with interest rates. From the horse's mouth, "Do I believe ethics and integrity and values are important?" Mr. Diamond told MPs this week. "You bet. I don't feel personally culpable. I feel a strong sense of responsibility," he added. "Thanks, Bob. You've reminded me that no matter how reprehensible my actions, I can still believe in doing the right thing. I think there's something there for all of us, folks." And that's from us. We look forward to Keith and John joining us next week. Have a great weekend.